Well, we've been looking at this series, Faith That Works, as James's letter to some of the first Christians. And we've looked at various things. Faith that brings freedom, faith that speaks, faith that is wise, faith that submits, faith that is just, faith that is patient. And today, we come to faith that heals. And it's an interesting passage to end on. Really it is. And I think that it is quite right that it should be looked at in the context of healing. Interesting that in this last week or so, we've had the whole thing going on in the media with the footballer Fabrice Muamba. Last Saturday, collapsed on the pitch in the middle of an FA Cup game. And by all accounts, his heart had stopped for 78 minutes whilst he was resuscitated. And actually, over the following 24 hours, there was an incredible outpouring of support for this poor fella. But more than that, the word prayer appeared time and time and time and time again in the media. The tabloids. Headlines last week, God is in control. Just incredible. As people were moved to pray, people that wouldn't normally pray. And actually, as it's emerged this week, the family of Fabrice Muamba appear to be really very God-fearing people. Don't know where they stand before the Lord, but it seems to me that the testimony actually of Fabrice Muamba is that he's a godly man and people respect him and that he is a churchgoer. I don't know how far his faith goes, but there's something there in his life and people see that. And it's really interesting, people's take on this. Reading one of the blogs on the BBC website, there's a guy that sort of goes through and explains all the stuff. And then he kind of can't quite make his mind up, but he certainly makes reference to this passage in James chapter 5. He talks about verse 15. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And he kind of says, well, seems to be something going on. And he doesn't really come down, well, he comes down a little bit woolly, I would say, in the end. But there are kind of things going on in people's minds. Go on to the Sun website this morning, if you must. That was very unfair. Sun website this morning takes you through kind of the latest in what's going on. And actually, the Sun reporter at the end of the article I read was saying that actually, there's something of a salvation going on as Bolton won yesterday and are kind of out of the relegation zone. There's this whole kind of Christian theme kind of appearing in the midst of kind of a sport that most of you probably don't care two figs for. But there's something amazing and it raises up something within us, whether we are professing Christians or not. A sense of maybe we can actually cry out to God. Maybe, just maybe, he does heal. But I want us just to hold on 1 second, maybe even a few more than a second. What is mentioned 7 times in 6 verses that I've just read out? Let's have a quick look. What's mentioned 7 times in 6 verses? Prayer. So let's just hang on a second before we just go down the avenue of this passage being simply about healing. Prayer is at the heart of this passage. And so often it's something that's thought of in times of trouble. Hence the whole thing with Muamba this last week. Prayer has become a big deal in the headlines. But actually in this passage, we see that there is so much more to prayer than it just being about a kind of get out of jail card. Let's look at verse 13 first of all. Okay, starts with, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. That's what people have been doing. And that's great. But what should we be praying for when we're in trouble? I have to say, when we look at the letter as a whole, I would say that we should as much be praying for perseverance. We should be praying that God would be at the very heart of our lives and our walk and our existence, as much as we might be asking him to relieve us from our trouble. Think of that Psalm 20, number 13 that we just read. The psalmist is saying, I really wish you would come through, God, but I'll still praise you. I will still honour you. I will still recognise that you are loving and good. So when we pray when we're in trouble, there's something quite deep going on there. Not as the BBC writer I just referred to suggests, that actually maybe prayer is simply thinking nice thoughts and wishing that bad things won't happen. See, I think that's what most people think of when they think of prayer. Thinking nice thoughts and wishing bad things won't happen. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. And so before we get on to healing, which is very much in this passage, I think we need to see that James is calling us to an utter dependence on God through Jesus. And that comes through this entire letter, but I think it certainly comes out in this passage. One of the commentators on this passage talks of prayer as being an attitude of trustful submission to God's good will. Prayer is an attitude of trustful submission to God's good will. Utter dependence on God. Think about last week as we talked about patience and endurance. That's where James has come from. Then verse 13 and 14, you see that actually he's encouraging us, regardless of life's experiences, to depend on God. If anyone's in trouble, he should pray. If anyone's happy, sing songs of praise. If anyone is sick, call the elders and they pray. See, we often see praying as a way of just asking God to solve our problems instead of coming in dependence and actually saying, God, you are sufficient. You are enough. There's an American preacher called John Piper who's really outspoken on the whole prosperity, health, wealth, and all of that gospel that is peddled so much in America and is exported, that basically you come to Jesus and you'll get rich, you'll have all your problems solved, and you'll never ever be sick. And I agree with John Piper that that is bunkum. That is just unhelpful lies. And he says this, God is actually most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him in the midst of loss. Not prosperity. So God is most glorified when, even when the chips are down, we say, Lord, you are enough. Because you are God. And And that comes time and time again in Scripture. It comes time and time again in the Psalms. You are enough, Lord. Help me depend on you. That dependence continues. Verse 16. Have a little think about this. Towards the end of verse 16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Well, hang on a minute. We'll come on to the prayer, to what he's praying for healing in a minute. But just think for a second. Who is righteous? Am I righteous? In my own strength? You're allowed to say no. Because I'm not. I'm not good enough. I am frail and human. As frail and as human as all of you. But God views me and you as righteous as we come to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. I turn from my sin and I want to follow you. And I'm counted as righteous at that point. How about that? But that requires dependence on God, not on me. Interesting that verse 15 and verse 20, there are two words in English that are actually translated differently in English to the Greek word. Verse 15, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. That verb, make well, is actually the same verb that's used in verse 20, where the sinner that's turned from the error of his ways, that person will save him from death. So the word made well and save are the same word in Greek. And we've just translated them differently because of the context of the other words around. But actually, whether we are made well physically or saved from our sin and our eternal destiny of separation from God, we are dependent on him. Whether we are healed physically now or whether we are saved spiritually to be with Jesus forever, we are dependent on him. And I wonder, before we even get to looking at healing, whether there's a challenge there for us today. Dependence on God, no matter what. That's a big call. But that's what God wants of us. And as we depend on him, so we will see him come through. And as we hold that, and maybe that's your challenge today, that you just need to say, Lord, I submit to you. I give over this bit of my life. I give over my whole life again. I give over my life for the first time. But with that as the background, as the foundation of this passage, we can see here that God in his mercy chooses to step in to history. He stepped into history in Jesus, coming as one of us, human being, into our world, into our struggles, into our temptations, into our stuff. And he was God. And he brought the kingdom of God near. And among the many things he did, he healed. With a word with a touch, people were healed. And actually, as his time was coming to an end on the earth, he commissioned us to do likewise. John 20, 21. After the resurrection, peace be with you, says verse 19. And after he said this, he showed them his hand and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, verse 21, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Earlier on, he'd sent his disciples out to go and set people free from sickness, from demonic possession, from all sorts of things. And he said, you now go. Matthew records at the end of his gospel, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Now you go in my authority. See, God in his mercy chooses to come amongst us, and amongst the things that he wants to do and wants us to do with his cooperation and his empowering is that we would heal through him. Not me, not you, but through him. Let's just have a quick look at verses 14 to 16 where it talks about healing in James chapter 5. Back to there. Sorry if you're flicking about a bit, but it's always good. You're probably back before I am. Hang on a second. There we go. So verses 14 to 16. First thing that seems to be said here is that there is a time when it's right that you ask the elders of the church, the leaders of the church, to pray for you. Seems to me that there's something there about us having to take the initiative to ask somebody else, would you please pray for me? And that can be important. Because then you're asking somebody else that's a part of the church leadership that's been kind of recognized by the church, I guess, to be like an ambassador for Jesus. And it talks about, in that verse 14, about anointing with oil and praying in the name of the Lord. You see, oil is, there's nothing magic about the oil. I mean, I've got some oil here. It's olive oil. There's nothing magical about it, but there's something symbolic about healing. And certainly in first century Israel, the whole thing of oil being rubbed on wounds was actually an important part of the healing process. But here, we're being told, well, put oil on. To just give a kind of a physical thing to say, God is here. God is with you. And we pray, not in our own strength, but in the name of the Lord. Utter dependence on God as we pray. Verse 15, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. We need to pray expectantly. Not half-heartedly, but expectantly that God is at work. And we might say, well, you know, is this prayer for healing? Is this about being healed now, or is this about being healed in eternity? And I don't know the answer to that question. Because I've prayed for people who've been very sick and then they've died. But actually, I believe that those people have been healed because they're with Jesus now and they're no longer sick. But that could be a cop-out. And that's very dangerous because actually I believe what I've just said to be absolutely true. But it seems to me that this passage is also talking about now praying for perfectly alive people. And so I believe that we need to pray for people and expect that God would touch them. And it's a really difficult area. Because actually maybe some of us here have prayed and we've not seen people healed after we've prayed. And maybe we've got into the whole thing of, well, why didn't that happen? And we started doing a little bit of an autopsy. And then somebody really unhelpful has come along and said, well, you haven't been healed because there must be sin in your life. And they really put the boot in, not even meaning to, but actually, that can be really hard. And of course, we need to recognise that we need to continually repent before God. But actually, that's between God and the person in question. And we have to think of Job, that we heard the little story last week of Job that I told with the children. And okay, it was a slightly shortened version, but then we didn't have all day. But Job was a man in good standing with God. And his friend said, well, there must be sin in your life. And Job had put himself right before God. So it might just be worth just tarrying a moment on this whole thing of, why do people not get healed? We can't do it great justice just now, but it seems there are many, many reasons why people don't get healed when they're prayed for. And we need to be ever so careful that whatever the reason, that we pray in faith, in utter dependence on God, and we do not judge. So sometimes, perhaps, there is a lack of faith. Kind of pray, but don't really believe it will happen. Pray and don't really believe that God can do this in 2012. So maybe sometimes there is an absence of faith. And I confess that I've probably prayed with an absence of faith. Maybe for some it's that there's a wrong belief, actually saying, well, no, God doesn't heal anymore. That just does not happen. And I believe that to be wrong. But of course, if you're believing that, then of course there's not going to be any healing. Maybe for some of us, when we're prayed for, we actually don't want to be healed, really. Deep down, we've kind of found our security and our identity in that thing which afflicts us. And it can feel really scary to think that maybe we could be well. And that sounds really harsh, but I think that can be true sometimes. Sometimes we just need to accept that what is going on is part of our fallen world. And we don't get it, but that sickness and illness is a part of our fallen world. Sometimes there's an absence of prayer. Actually, we're not dependent on God enough. And I think that we can be ever so complacent in our comfortable Western society. And so we kind of want it on a Sunday, but then by the time it comes to Monday, we think, well, yeah, okay, we'll get on with the rest of life. And I think the biggest one is actually we just don't know. Sometimes we will never, ever know this side of eternity why we pray and somebody isn't healed. But we must hold on to the fact that God does heal. I love the story in Daniel chapter 3 of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Not quite a healing thing, but it's a lovely story of dependence on God. Here's Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego facing the furnace in injustice. They're about to be burnt to a cinder. And in their last dialogue, they say, "I believe that God can save me from this. But if he doesn't, still I will not turn to worship your idols." So there's a real heart of belief there, recognizing that ultimately, though, God is sovereign, and maybe their time has come. I just love that picture of rock solid faith. But I believe that God does heal today. I was speaking to Jess Pittman, who's the curate of the Langport team, on Wednesday evening at the Lent series. And she just shared a lovely, very simple story of what I believe was a beautiful healing last week. She was serving in the Angel Cafe in Langport, and a Portuguese lady came in that she's begun to build a relationship with. But there ain't a lot of language going on because this lady doesn't speak very much English, Jess doesn't speak much Portuguese. But as this lady came to the counter, and they kind of gestured and a cup of tea, coffee, she just was hunched up and just pointed to her back and just said, and she was just visibly in pain and hunched. And so Jess, in sign, just said, "Shall I pray for you? Shall I pray for you?" And she said, "Yeah, please, please." And so Jess came round the counter and just simply prayed for her. Asked that the Lord would touch whatever it was and that the Lord would heal her. And this lady had her coffee, went away, came back the next day, fully upright, able to move freely, and just beaming with gratitude. And you could explain it a million different ways, but to me, God was at work in that situation. God heals today. And I want us to hold on to that. Let's just get back to the passage briefly before we finish, to see that actually prayer is not just about leaders praying for folk, but actually it's about us praying for one another in the context of right relationship with one another and with God. In verse 16, confess your sins to each other. Hello. That requires trust, doesn't it? That requires relationship. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you might be healed. So there isn't any one magic, in inverted commas, formula for prayer for healing. And it's lovely that we would anoint with oil, and that's absolutely fine, and it's scriptural, and it's good. But actually, you can do what Jess did and simply go up to somebody and to say, "Can I pray for you?" You can go up to one another and say, "Please, can I pray for you?" In relationship with one another and in humility, we can pray for one another for healing. I reckon we could probably preach a whole series on this and just unpack it bit by bit by bit. But I want you to take two things away this morning. First is the urging of James's heart that we depend utterly on God. That's number one. And number two is that we would pray for one another for healing where that's appropriate. Do it. Come before God in humility. Come before him in expectancy and ask him to step in. It's not up to us, but it's up to us to come to God in dependence and say, Lord, in your mercy, please heal this person. And then we leave it in his hands. And it may be that we continue to pray day after day after day, or week after week after week, and we feel it right to continue to pray. But that's not about forcing God's hand. It's not about getting the prayer meter high enough so that actually God one day will say, yeah, all right then, you've gone on about it enough. I don't know how God works, but I do know that he just wants our hearts to come before him and say, Lord, here I am, and I ask you to touch this person. As we come to communion, let's be reminded of our utter dependence on God. But let's be reminded too that as we take bread and wine, we encounter the living God by the power of his Spirit. He gave us this meal to remember him, what he has done for us. Actually, God is with us right here, right now. So we'll take communion together. Let's take time to confess our sin. Let's take time to come prayerfully. But actually, if you want somebody to pray for you for healing this morning, then please ask. There's oil here on the table. And it's not that because we're doing this passage that we pray for healing today and we never pray for it again. But I've seen this as a bit of a kick up the backside for me, actually. That this should be normal, that we pray for one another and that we expect God to work.